Good morning, everyone. Good morning. All right, it's great to see all these wonderful, smiling, beautiful faces. And it brings to mind the words to, last week I was trying to think of the words to this, I think it's the Broadway musical, but anyway, it goes, "Oh, what a wonderful feeling." Have you heard that one? "Oh, what a wonderful day. I have," how's it go? "Oh, what a wonderful feeling, feeling. Oh, what a wonderful day. I have a wonderful feeling. Everything's going God's way." Amen? All right. So welcome to Calvary, and I've got a few announcements for us. But before we do those, a reminder to place your salty service cards in the offering plate as it comes around. Also, fill out your prayer requests and your praise reports on these cards. And for those who are first-time guests or even repeat guests, we have a welcome card if you would fill that out for us and lay it in the offering plate as it comes around. Also, here's a couple of announcements. Our back-to-school barbecue still scheduled for August 14th. That's this coming Friday. It's going to happen here at the church from 12 to 6, but you're going to pick up your dinners here at the church and take them back to your respective places. And the dinners are $10. It's going to be a pulled pork dinner with food from Sonny's, homemade desserts included, takeouts, as I mentioned. However, we will deliver within a five-mile radius of the church. So if, in fact, you'd like for us to bring it to you, simply state that, and we'll bring it to you. Tickets are offered. I think Barbara still has some. Barbara Coleman, Nancy still has some. And Nancy?
After the service, I'm going to be back at the kitchen door. I have a few tickets, so
if you don't have a ticket yet for the barbecue dinner, Nancy has additional tickets. Bob? Meaning, will delivery take place between 12 and 6 p.m.? Is that the question? Okay, so that's a statement, not a question. Delivery will take place between the hours of? Okay. Okay, so it sounds like maybe 12 to 2 or something like that? Okay, I'll put it this way. We will deliver as long as you want delivery. And you know how I know that? Because Barbara's delivery guy is this guy. So Joe will also be helping out in the delivery, and so will some others. So, yeah, we'll take care of them. Tips will be donated, yes. Okay. Thank you, Sarah. All right, so newsletters are still available if you haven't picked yours up yet. And lay servant training happens in September. However, Connie wanted me to get an advance notice to those who want to start thinking about it, start considering becoming a lay servant in the church or renewing your certification. Sometime in September, further announcements to follow. And Bobby sends this. For our back-to-school barbecue, we need volunteers. We need desserts from volunteers. There's still about 4 slots on the board back there now. So if you have an inclination to make a dessert and bring it to the church, it must be here no later than 10 o'clock on Friday, August 14th. The sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board right next to the church office. And a couple of announcements on your bulletins. I think the Thursday Friendship Club, everyone is welcome to that. It's a potluck affair, so if you're wanting to attend that, it's 12 noon on Thursday. We mentioned Sunday is our church council meeting, Sunday coming. And one further one that's not on here, simply because I'm chair of the Staff Parish Relations Committee, I'd like to announce that that committee will meet on Tuesday, August 18th at 7 p.m. And then finally, Pastor Esther has an announcement regarding W.E. Cherry.
You know that our items that we're collecting this month, we delivered the hand sanitizer and Kleenexes last week, and they were so grateful for all those boxes of Kleenex and hand sanitizers. I told them this coming month what we're collecting for the rest of this month is glue sticks and sharpened number 2 pencils, and they need something year-round that I'm going to tell you about. Because these are young children, some of them have accidents during the day, so they like to have on hand underwear and socks, and so they need those new, of course, and these are for young children, so I would say, you know, the first and second graders, things like that. So you might want to, if you run across any that you think you'd like to donate, please do that. We appreciate it, and they're very excited and very grateful for whatever we can do for them. School starts next week, you know.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Pastor Esther. And if you would all please join me in our opening words, which can be found on the insert in your bulletins. Bless the Lord at all times.
We shall always sing God's praises.
Our joy and pride is in God.
May we come before God in humility and gladness.
Magnify God's name with me.
Let us exalt God's name together.
Let us give thanks and praise to our God. Amen and amen.
I have one more announcement. We have with us today the newlywed John and Tara Haney. If you would stand up, please. My son and daughter-in-law. And they had a baby yesterday, and she's growing fast. If you would stand and turn to page 399, we'll sing Take My Life and Let It Be.
Thank you.
There is one God and there is one mediator, Jesus Christ, who came as a ransom for all, to whom we testify.
This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed in throughout the world, taken up in glory. Great indeed is the mystery of the gospel. Amen.
Everybody who comes up gets a piece of candy at the end of this. But John can come up whether he wants candy or not. Nope. John says, nope, not today. I want to tell you about this man. You can sit right there on the cushion if you want to. There you go. Scoot over a little bit, Mason. There you go. All right. Perfect. Now, I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine who liked to have fun. He liked to go rafting and canoeing and kayaking and rock climbing and even biking and backpacking. He was the funnest person I know. He loved to do things and have fun. But before he did, he never leaves for a trip without reminding himself to watch out for danger. What do you think is the danger that he had to watch out for? What?
Bears.
Okay. Snakes. Okay. Rocks falling on him. Okay. What about in the water? What's the danger about being in the water? Crocs. Okay. Or flipping over and drowning. That could be one. Oh, sharks. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Right, there's lots of dangerous things. It was a good I asked that question, wasn't it? Good I asked that question, all those things. So guess what he would do? Before he would go canoeing, he would make sure he had his life vest on him. And when he went rock climbing, he wore his helmet and his harness at all times. And he listens for loose rocks. When he is backpacking, he wears dry socks and good shoes, and he listens to the weather to stay dry and comfortable. So he's always prepared for something that could happen. He knows that avoiding danger is the best way to be safe. And we have a scripture passage that also talks about avoiding danger today. It's all about safety. Safety of our hearts. Why do you think we have to make our hearts safe? Why do you think we have to make our hearts safe? Anybody know? Yes.
Because if our heart's not safe, that's a better risk of us getting hurt.
Okay. Okay. Our hearts are the place where our actions come from. If we have good hearts, our actions will be good. So we have to protect our hearts, and the scripture tells us to watch out for bitterness and anger, and watch out for lies and cruel words, so that we speak God's grace, so that we can show God's love in our actions. We have to protect our hearts. Do not make room for the bad. Protect your hearts, and then we protect our actions. And we live a life in a way that honors God. So in all things, watch out for danger that might hurt your body or hurt your heart. Because avoiding danger to begin with is the best way to be safe and the best way to please God. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us. Help us to watch for danger that might hurt our body or might hurt our heart. Amen. Okay, now everybody can get one piece of candy before they go sit down. Tithes and offerings. Let us pray. Oh God, protect our hearts so that we might be kind in our actions and our deeds. And we pray your blessing upon all those who give to you today, that they may be truly blessed. We are so grateful for what you do for us, dear God, and we thank you for every gift and every giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Whether you knew this or not, but singing is good for the soul.
Amen. Amen.
It's good for the body.
It's good for the body. It's good for the mind. It's good for you. So let it not be just the choir.
Everybody join the choir.
Everybody join the choir. Everybody sing. Everybody is the choir. Everybody is the choir. Thank you so much for that beautiful, beautiful song. And we turn now to go to God in prayer this morning. And as we do, I invite you to try to shut out everything else. Close your eyes. And try to tap into the silence. Breathe in and breathe out. And let God's voice be the only voice that you hear. And God's love is surrounding you. and nothing can harm you. With the power of God's love, all things are possible. Take to Him today whatever you have, whatever you need, and lay it at His feet. And when you feel ready, lift up the name of someone or a place in the world or a situation in your life that needs God's healing touch and love in a very special way, and offer it to Him. O God, creator of the sun, moon, and stars, give us your light in times of shadow when the fog of uncertainty lingers near. Give us light when we have difficulty finding your way. Grant us light that warms us when we feel the coldness of rejection and despair. Give us your light in our hearts that we might share the light of the world, the good news of your love for all. Give us your light. In the name of the one who taught us to pray together, we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you'd stand and look to the screen behind me, we'll sing "The River Is Here."
Our scripture this morning is coming from the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, 16th chapter. We'll be reading verses 2, 3, and 4, and verses 9 through 15. 16th chapter of Exodus. Hear the words of the scripture. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instructions or not." Continuing with the ninth verse. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Two weeks ago now, I preached a sermon called Mind the Gap, which referred to the gap between the subway platform and the subway itself. And I talked to you about the Jesus factor that fills the gap. Now, last week, I looked at the gap between God and humanity in the space between Adam's finger and God's hand in the Sistine Chapel. And I talked with you about the gap in understanding when it comes to what we must do in order to receive a free gift. This is my third time talking to you about Mind the Gap. And this time, it is the gap between when a sea creature, like a lobster, loses its old shell and grows a new one. It will not surprise you to learn that I know nothing about lobsters, except what I read online, and who knows what that is. So I am dependent upon the source of the internet for the accuracy of this idea. So let me quote to you from Wikipedia. "From time to time, lobsters have to leave their shells in order to grow. They need the shell to protect them from being torn apart. Yet when they grow, the old shell must be abandoned. If they did not abandon it, the old shell would soon become their prison and then their casket. The tricky part is the period of time between when the old shell is abandoned and the new one is formed. During that terrible, vulnerable period, the transition must be scary to the lobster." I never thought about a lobster being scared, but anyway. "Currents cartwheel them from coral to kelp. hungry schools of fish are ready to make them part of the food chain. For a while at least, that old shell must look pretty good. The gap between when the old shell is discarded and the new one is formed, that's where we find the congregation of the Israelites today. They too had left behind the old shell of slavery in Egypt. It was not a good life, but it was life. It was bad sometimes and very hard, but at least it was a place where they understood the rules and they knew what to expect. It may not have been a land flowing with milk and honey, but at least there was water to drink and food to eat and a roof over their heads. They were slaves, but yet there was some security in their slavery. Here in the desert, however, nothing was certain. Everything was open. They had no jobs, no crops, no storehouses, no overseers, and no certainty about where their next meal would come from. No wonder they were grouchy and complaining. Truth be told, if we were in their shoes, we would be too. In this state of exposure and uncertainty about the future, the past began to look pretty good to them. Throughout the biblical story of Israel's 40 years in the wilderness, this theme is constantly being played out over and over again. The congregation of the Israelites complain about their condition, and they blame Moses and God for getting them into this mess. And they also look back upon their time in Egypt as the good old days, reciting memories of their years of suffering and servitude as if it were something to go back to. Remember this. The tricky part is the brief gap between when the old shell is abandoned and when the new one is formed. That was true for the Israelites, and it's true for us. American Christianity is in that gap between shells. We're walking through the desert without the security and safety of the old ways of doing things. Sometimes it feels like we are being forced to reinvent ourselves on a weekly basis in the midst of being blown about by the winds of change. We are tempted to look back on the way things used to be and to think how much easier it would be if things never changed. We can find ourselves wishing for more stability, for more security, for now, the present, to go back to being like then, the past. I want to tell you about a story of a friend of mine. He and his family lived in a little four-room house on a farm that they worked with their grandparents. There were four little rooms and an attic for two parents and five children. There was a well in the yard for the water that they drank, and there was an outhouse in the woods for, well, you know what that's for. One year, both the child's grandparents died, and the aunt who had lived with the grandparents got married and moved out, so that opened up the grandparents' house. And so then my friend and his family took over the grandparents' empty house. It was a large and rambling two-story house with lots of rooms and big porches, and most important of all, it had indoor plumbing. But as my friend tells it, His family had some difficulty at first adjusting to the new house. I don't want to, be indelicate here, but apparently when the men in the family got up in the morning, they ran outside before remembering that there was actually indoor plumbing. And more interesting, they also found that at first they took up the same amount of space that they had in their small four-room house. They didn't spread out. It took them a while before they felt comfortable enough to start spreading out into that new house and take advantage of all the new room that they had. The congregation of the Israelites complained about food, and God gave them food. In chapter 17, they complained about water, and God gave them water. As time goes on, they complained about other things, and sometimes God got angry and sometimes God didn't, but God always responded to their need and provided for them. Because God knew that lack of food and water and other things wasn't what was really bothering the Israelites. It was all that freedom, all that uncharted future in front of them that seemed so uncertain and made the past look so much better. And so it is with us. We too face an uncertain and uncharted future. We too are often guilty of succumbing to the allure of the familiar. We too look at the way the world is changing and we become frightened. We too look to the past for assurance. We cling to the old hymns and the old ways of doing things as if we can only pray and God can only hear in those words and those ways from yesteryear. You can go down the halls of some churches and point at pictures of pastors and confirmations and think, it was so much better when things were like that. And maybe it was. But the fact remains, it will never be that way again. And we must be the church in the world as it is, not as we wish it were. And the story of the manna is our assurance that God is with us in our wilderness. We do not face the future without hope from God. God is leading us through this time of uncertainty and growth. God is providing what we need, not necessarily what we want, but certainly what we need. The writer of Exodus, if you recall what Ron just read for us, refers to the manna as a test. And I think sometimes we forget the importance of testing and to know that testing is an educational tool, a tool to help us discover those places where we need to learn and where we need to grow more. That's why we test. God's not trying to trip the Israelites up. He's not trying to see if they measure up to being the chosen people because he knows they don't. God already knows that, and that such measuring up is not the point of the test. God is using this test to teach them the lesson that faith is not about what we know and not about what we are capable of doing. Faith is about trusting in God in those times when we are without a shell, that gap of protection that keeps us safe, when we are bereft of anything except our utter dependence upon the goodness of God. To go out to pick up manna and to take only enough for one day is to trust that God will provide again the next day and the next day and the next day after that. And yes, the next day after that. Will you please bow your heads in prayer with me? Well, God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the end, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen and amen.
If you'll stand and look through the screen behind me, we'll sing Change My Heart, Oh God.
Of LaRonda Barnes, who has come and preached for us in the past, and I'm so grateful to her for being willing to step in, and I know you enjoy her, and she enjoys being here with you, and I trust completely that God can fill whatever gap you experience in your life. Do you? Do you know that anything, any kind of gap, any space, any inch of space that needs healing can get healing. Any place in your life that is hurt can be healed. That is wounded or broken, God can fill. But you must trust. You must let go. You must believe. Amen. And God will provide.
Amen.
May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, our heavenly Creator, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go